I'm Ross Reynolds in for Bill Radke. This is The Record. There's always been a fascination with death, but there's a growing body of contemporary literature and writing about death. Barbara Ehrenreich was here in May talking about her book Natural Causes, An Epidemic of Wellness, The Certainty of Dying and Killing Ourselves to Live Longer. She argues that baby boomers are unrealistically clinging to life. Physician and writer Atul Gawande's Being Mortal, Medicine and What Matters in the End explored how doctors view death as a failure and how that ill serves people at the end. Joining them on the bookshelf, Portland, Oregon-based writer Sally Tisdale. Along with her books Talk Dirty to Me and Stepping Westward, Sally is also a registered nurse. She works for 3 days a week at a palliative care center where they focus on bringing relief from the symptoms of improving quality of life, often at the end of life. And she also conducts death and dying study groups. Her new book is called Advice for Future Corpses and Those Who Love Them. Sally Tisdale, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
And by the way, you may have some reactions to what we're hearing. You can tweet at us, at KUOW. We'd love to get your responses to what we're talking about. Now, you concede on the first page of your book, you've never died, so your book is a fool's advice, yet you wrote it anyway.
Yeah, I did. And in a way, I think we all have died in that we're not who we were yesterday. We're not who we were 10 years ago or 30 years ago. We know what it's like to change dramatically. We've watched our bodies change. We watch our minds and our opinions change. So in a way, we're moving toward a time when that happens in a fairly dramatic way. But is it qualitatively different than the way we just grow and develop? I don't know. So I'm applying some of what I've learned from just being a human being and watching a lot of other people go through this.
There's so much talk about having a good death.
Right.
What does that mean to you?
So we have a stereotype about the good death. And when I teach classes or study groups in this, the good death is often posited as I'm in my own bed, in my own home. I'm surrounded by people who love me. I'm peaceful. Some people want to be awake. Others don't. But there's this there's an idealization of that moment. And I have a chapter in the book where I compare and contrast different kinds of what I think of as good deaths that are very different. To me, it's better to talk about an appropriate death for a person because the death will reflect the life. And I think the most important thing we can bring to our deathbed is the attitude of acceptance and curiosity, because in the end, no matter how you plan, no matter what you hope for, it will not be in your control. This is one of the things that we have no control over at all in the end. And so we have to be able to approach it with some open-handedness. What happens will happen. Now, there's a lot you can do to improve the outcomes and to make it more what you hope. But there has to be a little bit of wonder and curiosity about what really will happen.
When you say you'd rather use the term appropriate death, is there an appropriate death for all of us, or is it individualized?
I think it is to a large extent an outcome of your life. However, the problems we see are people who have made no effort to make their wishes known. And so the outcome of their life ends up being appropriate to somebody else. Mm-hmm. It ends up coming from someone else's point of view. If you are ill or aging and you've made no comment about what you want, it will be a doctor or a nurse or a family member who you may never have spoken with about it who makes that decision. That's not an appropriate death. I don't care what it looks like. An appropriate death is a death that comes out of your own development.
You were born in 1957. I was born in 1952. So we're at a certain age. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are on how we think about death differently, either from people from our generation or kind of more to the point, young versus old. I mean, right. When I was young, I sure didn't think about it at all. I think about it a whole lot more now.
Well, that's natural. We are from the generation that we were the product of a medicalization of childbirth. So from the beginning of our lives, our generation came out of a very sort of a disease-oriented view of normal development and a doctor-driven world. And the new generation, the generation that is beginning to really reach its maturity now, has been exposed to a different way of looking at health. So, you know, we rediscovered natural childbirth and we rediscovered eating your vegetables. And now we're kind of rediscovering that death is normal and death is a part of life. The way death has been eliminated from public view, and the fact that many Americans never see a dead body or never with a dying person, that's actually very unusual. It's rare in human history, and I think it's rare in human experience today. If you look at the world as a whole, most people in the world are not as cut off from it as we are. So I'm really pleased to see the beginning of what is called a death awareness movement. But I also don't think it's new. I think it's a rediscovery of normal human behavior.
I'm talking to Sally Tisdale. Her new book is called Advice for Future Corpses, A Practical Perspective on Death and Dying. Atul Gawande and others have written a lot about how the medical profession is kind of ideally changing its views towards death, not viewing it as simply a failure. You're also someone in the medical profession. Does the medical profession sufficiently look at quality of life at the end of life? Is it all too often we hear it's preserving life at all costs?
Well, and you know, Atul Gawande is someone else who is discovering something that we used to know. The medical profession is returning in some ways to its roots, but with the new tools of new medications and new ways of judging discomfort and symptom management. So I have a skewed view in that I work in a palliative care system, which means it's to manage symptoms and improve comfort and quality of life. And I work with doctors and nurses who are dedicated to that and very experienced. So in my experience, it is much more how we are approaching death. And I sometimes work in the hospital managing our patients who have been hospitalized, and the biggest problem comes from the lack of conversations people have had with their family, the lack of planning, and a disconnect in the family about what a person really wants. So we spend a lot of time just trying to get everybody on the same page. If we have these conversations in advance, and I have to say, you can't have that conversation with others until you have it with yourself. Hmm. If we can do that in advance, a lot of the worst problems can be prevented.
Well, and we don't think about it. We push it away. You've written, if you want to be more comfortable with death, spend time near it.
Right.
What do you mean by that?
And, you know, and you in this culture, in a modern America, you have to make the effort. It's not going to show up in your living room. It used to be there. It used to be, even not, you know, 100 years ago, not very long, it was present in people's lives. Now we have to go looking for it. There are a lot of different ways to come into it. There are all kinds of volunteer opportunities to spend time with the aging and the dying. People do have a somewhat romantic idea. I'll be a volunteer at the hospice and I'll be at the bedside when someone has their, you know, spiritual moment. In fact, go to the nearest nursing home where there's an elderly person who has no family and is all alone, and they're really confronting age and infirmity, and do what you can with them. That not only allows you to be closer to people who are dying, but it's going to give you a little explanation of what happens for you as you get older. You know, I agree that, you know, as Barbara Ehrenreich says, our generation has been very fearful about aging. And it seems so silly to me. What else do we think is going to happen? What do we really have this idea that somehow we're going to have an impact on that, a qualitative impact on aging and death? Much more effective to me is to keep your eyes open, to look at it with curiosity and wonder.
Another thing that Barbara Ehrenreich wrote in her book, Natural Causes, quote, "The truly sinister possibility is that for many of us, all the little measures we take to remain fit, all the deprivations and exertions will only lead to a longer chance to live with crippling and humiliating disabilities," end quote.
Yeah.
True?
And well, as I say, namaste, you're dead. It doesn't really, in the end, yes, you can actually, I mean, I work with people who, younger than me, are not able to walk because they've taken such poor care of their health. Of course, there's a way where we need to take care of ourselves and do basic wellness. But I also see people who seem to have this kind of grimacing, painful approach to extreme levels of fitness and diet as though they can hold back change. There's a middle way there. There's a moderate approach where we're taking care of ourselves and gracefully accepting the change that comes. Does it ever occur to you to lie about how old you are? It just seems so odd to me.
Like, not anymore.
Have I done something to be ashamed of? Of course not. It's just, it comes to all of us.
Yeah.
And one of the things I want people to take away from this book is to really remember that death is natural. Death is universal. So our fear about it is kind of odd in a way. Everything goes there. Everything comes to this.
You know, you mentioned the importance of kind of connecting with death. You talked about maybe going to a nursing home. Some people might not want to do that. I've also heard the suggestion that everyone think about death for 15 minutes a day.
Well, and that's actually it's a practice in all major religions. It's done in every personal religious practice. There is the suggestion that you spend a little bit of time every day imagining that moment. It's more explicit in some religions than others, but I think that is really excellent practice. So one of the things I ask people to do in my classes is imagine your ideal death, spend a little time with that, really fantasize, and then imagine that the meteor is on its way and it's going to hit in 2 minutes. This is it. You and me right here in this room, we're the last thing. This is what we get. How does that feel? How does the possibility that it won't be like you think it will be at all, how does that land? Mm-hmm. Because it could be that.
You write in your introduction to Advice for Future Corpses, the strange, undeniable fact that the presence of death can be joyful.
Yes, absolutely. I think everybody really knows this in their heart. We love each other. We have intimate relationships, but there's also a kind of self-defense in most of our relationships. We protect a little part of our heart from each other, but when someone you love dies, there's nothing left to protect. And I have found that my love for the people I've lost is deeper and more pure than anything. We cherish each other so much when we come to the end of our life. A lot of the decoration and the extra veneer of our way of being together falls away. There's something very plain and pure about it.
You know, when I think about that in my own regard, I think one thought is, oh, Lord, take me fast. If I could fall asleep and never
come back. That's a very common.
But then part of me thinks, well, what about, that would be a horrible thing to leave people so quickly, to not have any time with them.
See, to me, I don't want to die in my sleep because I think it's going to be a really interesting experience. I think it's going to be an adventure, like going for a hike to a place you've never been. You don't know what's around that corner. I really don't want to miss that.
Wow. Going for a hike to some place you've never been. Sally Tisdale. That's some advice for future corpses and those who love them. That's the name of her new book. It's A Practical Perspective on Death and Dying. Thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.